Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Christopher Husted. For nearly a year now, hog farmers have been battling a virus. It's deadly to newborn piglets, and farmers are scrambling to protect their herds. With fewer pigs comes less pork. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer reports.
At Harris Vaccines, a startup company in Ames, Iowa, Anya Doolittle and Victoria Jansen wipe clean small bottles containing a white milky liquid and then apply labels. They're shipping out vaccine for porcine epidemic diarrhea, or PED. There's urgency to the work. In a total swine herd of 66 million animals, PED is likely to blame for the deaths of about a million piglets. And that toll is rising. The virus first turned up in the U.S. last spring, but Harris Vaccines founder Hank Harris had been following its impact in parts of Europe and Asia, where efforts to quell it with vaccines have not been terribly successful.
The company was interested in developing a vaccine before the virus occurred in the United States.
Harris Vaccines and other veterinary companies are pumping out vaccines, scrambling to control the outbreak. But Harris says even his current vaccine isn't enough to protect all piglets in infected herds.
It's not giving 100% protection in those situations. And so that's why we have a Generation 2 vaccine that we're developing already.
Like Harris, Sabrina Swenson of the USDA's National Veterinary Services Laboratory knew PED was out there and could come to this country.
One of our roles is to try to anticipate potential things and look to make sure that we have diagnostics in place.
And since its arrival, PED has been spreading relentlessly. Think of a preschool classroom where the children must wash their hands several times a day. Even so, when one gets a cold, quickly most do. And they tend to get sicker than their parents and teachers. Similarly, PED spreads fast within barns and from farm to farm, even when strict biosecurity measures, the hand-washing of the livestock industry, are in place. That's because it can survive in tiny bits of manure that travel on boots or trucks. Adult pigs typically recover, but Iowa State University veterinary medicine professor Rodney Baker says baby pigs do not.
The pigs die from dehydration. The baby pigs just cannot withstand losing all their body fluids as fast as they do.
Once they're older than about 10 weeks, Baker says, pigs aren't nearly as vulnerable. But new winter litters remain at risk because the virus likes the cold.
It's easy to imagine that we could have lost a million pigs, and before the winter's over, I wouldn't be surprised that the impact could be maybe 3-4 times that.
As for consumers, it's not clear yet whether bacon and ham prices will go up. Too many other factors are also in play. But Baker says the ongoing outbreak could be a bonus for some farmers.
The good news is those farmers that keep the virus out, there's economic opportunity for them compared to those that, you know, fail to keep it out.
And he says it's the smaller independent producers, ones that have fewer hogs and minimal contact with other farms, who are having the most success. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
For the past few years, frac sand mines in the Midwest have been popping up right alongside hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. Frac sand is sold to oil and gas companies to use to prop open cracks made by drilling. It allows the collection of oil and gas. But an uproar of opposition based on health concerns is starting to spread down through the region into Missouri. In St. Genevieve County, Missouri, about 100 residents gathered for a town hall meeting in 2013 to discuss a new frac sand mine in their backyard. Officials from the county, state, and mining company attended. Neighbors peppered the panel with questions. How will the mine sand dust be regulated? How will you prevent it from getting into our lungs? How will the traffic and explosions affect my health, my property, and the ecosystem? Concerns about breathing in the microscopic sand particles, which could lead to silicosis in the lungs, abounded. Jane Hardy, who lives about 1,000 feet from the mine, says she wasn't satisfied with the answers.
I'm still not going to be able to walk my dogs. I'm not going to be able to ride my horses. They've made that very clear, and so it doesn't make me feel better.
Many attendees reference the tumultuous nature of the frac sand industry in states north of Missouri. But ultimately, the Missouri mine was issued a permit. The opposing neighbors now are considering legal options. Frac sand mines started blossoming in the Midwest around 2008. Since then, the sand industry in the Midwest has grown exponentially compared to any other region in the U.S. Thomas Dolly is a silica specialist with the U.S. Geological Survey.
Last year, I believe natural gas was selling about like $2, a BTU or something like that. Now it's up to $4. So it's going to fluctuate with the price of natural gas. When the price goes up, you're going to see more drilling. You're going to see more production. And then thus, you're going to need more sand.
My Senate district has become the epicenter of frac sand mining in North America.
That's Wisconsin State Senator Kathleen Vinehout.
There are probably 65 mines and processing plants in my district. There are 100 in the state. There's 28 in just one county.
Vinehout says community members and environmental groups are concerned about sand dust getting into the lungs of neighbors, among other issues. Mine owners say they use techniques like wetting the sand or waiting to break down the sand into smaller pieces once it's away from the site to prevent sand dust from flying into the air. Still, local governments have been passing moratoria and stricter regulations on frac sand mines to curb the growth of the industry. But that's not sitting well with some of the Republican legislators who want the jobs. Vinehout, a Democrat, says that's where the problem lies.
I do think that we've seen such an explosion in Wisconsin, partly because of the response of state government, which is the attitude is, we're open for business. We want you to come here, and we're not going to put a lot of money into enforcement.
In Minnesota, residents have watched their next-door neighbors battle over permitting these mines for years. In turn, they've become more proactive in their regulation of frac sand mines to avoid escalating into a political war zone. Missouri has a small number of frac sand operations compared to these other states, but it's still causing concern. A mine in southeast Missouri recently shut down in the midst of a lawsuit with dozens of residents. Republican State Senator Gary Romine says he's keeping an eye on the sand mines in his own district after hearing concerns from his constituents.
They've seen the health issues and questions that's been brought up, and only time can tell how much of an effect this fine sediment from the sand will have on the health in the area.
Scientific data on the effects of these mines may be around the corner, though. University of Iowa researchers were recently awarded a grant to study the public health effects of sand mines. The hope is community members and politicians then will have more concrete answers to help guide policy and regulation. That's all for Under the Microscope. You can find an interactive graph on how the U.S. frac sand industry has evolved by region at kbia.org. Check it out. It's pretty cool. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.